The following dramatic presentation is a work of fiction. It has been inspired by recent events in Newfoundland and elsewhere in Canada, but it is not a reenactment of any actual events. The characters, scenes, and dialogue in this drama are not intended to represent the actual personalities, actions, or words of any real people, living or dead. Teleaction, in co-production with the National Film Board of Canada, presents a John N. Smith film. The Boys of St. Vincent. Starring Henry Cherney, Brian Dooley, Philip Dinh, Michael Wade, and Greg Toomey. The Boys: Brian Dodd, Ashley Billard, Jeremy Keefe, Jonathan Lewis, and Johnny Marina as Kevin Reavy. Evening. In an orphanage, a young boy walks hesitantly down a dimly lit hallway toward an office. In mounting apprehension, he approaches the open office door. A brother, writing at a desk inside, looks up.
Come on in, son. Come on. Go on, close the door.
Reluctantly, the boy steps inside, closing the door behind him. Casting, Elite Productions, Nadia Rona and Rosina Bucci. Director of Photography, Pierre Letarte. Production Designer, Réal Ouellette. Morning light floods in as a brother opens window shutters at the end of a corridor in the orphanage dormitory. Edited by Werner Nold. Original music composed by Neil Smolar. The brother strides along the corridor. Young boys stand naked at a row of urinals. Executive producers Claudio Luca and Colin Neal. Boys soak themselves in the shower. Written by Des Walsh, John N. Smith, and Sam Graner. The young boy from the office scrubs himself over and over. The boys kneel as Mass is celebrated.
Omnibus circumstans.
Produced by Sam Grana and Claudio Luca. Directed by John N. Smith. An altar boy pours sacramental wine in the priest's goblet. It's the boy from the office. His actions are watched closely by the brother from the office.
Pro nostra et totus mundi salutare.
After the Mass, the boy hands candle holders to an older brother who places them on a shelf.
That book I gave you, Kevin. Have you finished it yet?
Not yet, Brother Mac. Almost all.
What do you think? Do you like it?
Oh, yeah. I likes it a lot.
Like, Kevin, like. I like it a lot. Now I likes.
You know when we go to confession... Well, I was wondering, do the brothers go to confession too?
Indeed we do, my boy. We confess our sins and we ask the Lord for his forgiveness. We say our Hail Marys just like everybody else.
Kevin ponders this. Later.
It was a dark, dark night. And there was a bit of a wind up. Just enough to rustle the leaves. Can we make that sound, rustling leaves? Come on. How does that sound? That's it. That's it. Now, Uncle Jim was afraid of no man. But there was something about that night that made him uneasy. When he came round the bend, he saw a light in the middle of a bridge he had to cross. And the closer he got, the brighter the light shone out. When Uncle Jim put one foot on that bridge, he froze like a pillar because the light was coming toward him. It was just suspended in the air and coming closer and closer. So he moved to one side and the light moved with him. Then he moved to the other side and the light moved as well. Then that light came rushing at him. And Uncle Jim, the same Uncle Jim who was afraid of no man, was so scared that he ran off the bridge and took shelter underneath it.
A workman tends to a leaking water pipe in the cellar. Hearing a noise, he turns around.
Well now, what's this? Someone come to help me?
It's Kevin.
Come on, my son, you're no good to me in there. I need you out here to hold this wrench for me. Come on. There's no need of me coming down at all if there's someone already here to do the work. Seeing as we're both here, let's do it together. There you go.
He pulls over a box.
Stand up in there. Are you tall enough? Now.
He fixes a wrench on one side of the leak.
Hold that tight. It's no good if you let it slip. What are you doing down here on your own? What's your name, anyway?
Kevin. Kevin Reeves.
Yeah, okay, and,
And what?
What are you doing down here on your own?
Nothing.
Nothing? Not a lot to be doing, nothing. You not afraid of the dark?
No. I like it out here.
How do you think of that? Good or what?
Yes, sir.
The leak repaired, they shake hands.
Thank you, sir. You come down here often?
In the classroom.
Just before the sun came up. The light was gone.
Was it the devil, bro?
It may well have been, child. But you know what protected him, don't you? All of you together know what protected Uncle Jim that night under the bridge.
The rosary.
That's right, saying the rosary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Good.
Later.
Did you hear the one about the sheep and the lonely shepherd?
No, no, Mr. Finn. I'd rather hear the one about the broken door.
No, bro. You'd rather hear the one about the sheep. I called a couple of stores and the part is going to cost $150.
I thought you said you could repair anything that needs fixing, Mr. Finn.
Well, there are things in life broken that can't be fixed. This is one of those things.
I see you're a philosopher, Mr. Finn.
Oh, indeed I am, Brother Levin. Indeed I am. Now, there was this fella who was trying to fix his poor old broken hair.
Wine is poured at a table.
I've promised a slideshow, gentlemen, which will be presented after the 100th anniversary dinner. Brother Glockett, I want you to take charge of it.
Oh, great. You don't have enough to do already, I suppose.
It's already been decided. I don't want to hear any more about it.
A sumptuous meal graces the brothers' dinner table.
Now, as for the hockey team, I'm planning to play Mike at center.
Kevin lies on his bed reading a book about ships, while two other boys play checkers.
All right, that's it. Lights out. Come on. Everybody in your pajamas. Say your prayers, please. Put all your toys in here. Come on. Hurry up.
Not yet.
Come on.
A brother rounds up the boys.
Eddie, get him. Oh, Eddie, you could have got him.
No more bathroom. That should all be done by now.
Jump him.
Come on, please. Put on your pajamas. Kneel down and we say our prayers.
Kevin, Brother Lavin would like to see you in the office, please.
But I'm real tired, bro. I'm getting ready for bed. Can't it wait till morning?
What did I say? Did I say Brother Lavin would like to see you in the morning? Did I say that?
No, bro.
No, I didn't say that, did I? So go on now.
As Kevin reluctantly leaves the dorm, the other boys watch him go.
There you go. Can you clean your hair? Huh?
Once again, a brother opens the shutters at the end of the dormitory corridor, admitting the light of another day. The brother strides down the corridor to rouse the boys. Soon after, in the dorm, the beds have all been neatly made. Brother Lavin strides into a hallway where the boys are lined up.
Good morning, gentlemen. Paws out.
The boys present their hands for inspection.
Good. 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 If you washed them, that wouldn't happen. Good. 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 That shirt belongs in the laundry. Get another one. Good. Do up the button. Good. Good.
He stops in front of Kevin. The boy looks down as Lavin takes his hand, then pats him on the shoulder.
It's good.
Before turning away.
Now what about you, young man? Is your little split pea brain functioning enough this day to know which foot goes where?
I'm not sure, bro. Let me see.
The boy takes a step and trips.
That's about the size of it, my son. Back in line. Tuck that shirt in. Good. 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 Get moving. For God's sake, watch your language out there. Remember, you carry the good name of St. Vincent with you.
Soon after, Kevin and the boy who tripped knock on a door.
Got a clothes for the orphanage, missus, or collect the clothes for St. Vincent?
Hang on a moment, my love, and I'll see what I got.
Stephen pulls out a coin box.
What do you think?
Where'd you get that?
I made it myself. Kevin, you gotta learn how to take care of yourself in this meano world. Watch. Here you go, sweethearts.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mrs. Oh, I almost forgot. You wouldn't have any spare change for the Christmas turkey.
Well, I'm quite sure we'll find something around here for that. Just a minute now. Now, will that do you, boys?
That's great, Mrs. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, boys. I just wish my own youngsters were as polite as ye.
Thanks again, Mrs. Gotta run.
Bye.
See what I mean, Kevin?
Stephen pockets the box.
She gave us a lot, but
yeah? You know, when it goes to confession, are you gonna tell him about this?
No way. That had nothing to do with them priests, my son. Can't trust them.
Back at the orphanage, as the boys sort the clothing they've collected, Kevin stuffs a pair of boxing gloves into a brassiere worn by another boy. The lad struts about, waggling his huge bosom, to the amusement of the boys and Brother Mac. The brother picks the lad up and swings him about.
Bring me along. We've got a lady in the orphanage.
Oh, these aren't for ladies. These are for men.
Pulling out the gloves. The brother fits them on Stephen.
Come on, let's go.
Get your older brother, Stephen.
Come on.
Urged on by the other boys, Stephen spars with his older brother, Brian, who delights in fending him off. Finn takes over from Brian.
Kevin, you have to go to Brother Lavin's office now.
Now?
He turns to go. At the door, Kevin turns back, reluctant to leave the fun, as Stephen claims victory over Finn, the janitor. Alone, Kevin trudges slowly down the hall. Nearing Brother Lavin's door, he pauses, then steps forward. As he reaches for the door handle, he stops, then turns and walks quickly away. In the hallway, he finds his coat and hat and puts them on. Then he strides to the door, leaving it open behind him. He runs out into the night. Lights glow around St. John's Harbor. A fully rigged model of a schooner stands in a store window, next to a decorated Christmas tree. Kevin peers in at them longingly, before turning away and hurrying on into the harbor. More lights glow on the bridge of a freighter. As Kevin regards it, a cruising police car catches him in its headlights.
Kevin Reedy?
He runs.
Hey! Hey!
A constable gives chase. The constable, followed by the police car, soon catches up to the boy and grabs him. The constable's partner comes to help him drag the struggling boy back to the police car. Inside it.
Don't take me back there, please.
Ain't no place else you can go, lad.
Kevin slumps back, angry, but resigned. He's escorted into the orphanage.
Kevin, could you wait in the office, please?
Take off the hat.
Kevin does as he's told, as Lavin closes the door behind him.
Thank you very much for bringing the child home, gentlemen. It's too cold a night to be out.
Well, Brother Lavin, he certainly didn't want to come back, I can tell you that. He kicked up some racket.
No doubt. One thing these youngsters have in common is an insatiable need for attention.
He grins.
Good evening.
And shakes their hands. In the office, Kevin looks up apprehensively as Lavin comes in and locks the door.
Come here.
He leads the boy across the room and sits down facing him.
First of all,
let's take off your jacket.
He helps the boy take off his jacket. Tenderly placing Kevin on his knee, he hugs the reluctant boy.
Kevin. It's okay, Kevin.
He begins unbuttoning the boy's shirt.
You're home now, child. Mama loves you.
He kisses Kevin's neck and then his cheek. He caresses the boy's chest and kisses it.
Dead and always will be.
Surprised, Lavin pauses in his ardor.
What?
You're not my mother.
Thwarted by the words, Lavin grasps the boy's face in his hand, squeezing it.
You're not my mother.
Twisting Kevin off his knee, Lavin grips the boy's face in both hands and glares at him.
What?
You're not my mother. daughter.
In a rage, he flings Kevin to the floor and unbuckles his heavy belt.
To behave like the other boys, then you will be punished like the other boys.
The belt lashes down again and again. Snow swirls against the window panes. Later, ever so gently, Lavin carries the whimpering boy up the stairs. And along the corridor to the dormitory. Soon after, peering into himself in a mirror, Lavin sponges the sweat off his face and neck and chest. Early the next morning, Lavin strides along the corridor to the dormitory. Opening the first door, he picks up a wastebasket and hurls it into the room. Then he continues along the corridor to the next room and another wastebasket.
Did I say everybody up? I think I meant everybody up! Let's go! Come on, move your carcasses! Let's go! Come on, move! Up.
One after another, he rousts the sleepy boys from their beds.
Come on! Sun's been up for hours! You! Up! I said up! Let's go! Get your carcass up! Move, go! Out, move! I said move!
When the last one is shuffled out, Lavin turns to the bed where Kevin lies, huddled under the blanket. Stepping over to the bed, he sits down on the edge of it.
It's okay, Kevin. You can stay in bed today.
Tenderly, he touches Kevin's head. Washroom showers, boys scrub themselves. The soapy water streams down from their shoulders, over their rounded little buttocks, to their slim legs and slender feet. From the doorway, Brother Lavin watches absently, his thoughts elsewhere.
Who made the world?
God.
In a classroom.
Who is God?
The creator and sovereign Lord of heaven and earth and all things.
How many gods are there?
There is but one God who rewards the good and punishes the wicked.
Where is God?
God is everywhere, but is everywhere to be in heaven and with his angels.
Now we can do better than that, boys. Where is God?
God is everywhere, but is heaven to be in heaven with his angels and saints.
Very good, very good. Now, let's see. Jimmy.
Yes?
What is heaven?
the kingdom of God's glory and of his angels and saints.
Very good, very good.
After Brother Mac's catechism lesson, Stephen runs upstairs with an apple and a sandwich.
Come on, hungry. We have to chew.
Come on, boy. You gotta eat. Get your strength back.
Stephen offers the food to Kevin, who lies in his bed.
Keep on the blankets, okay? Gotta go. See you later.
As Stephen is on his way out, the janitor Finn comes in.
How you doing, boy?
That's fine, yourself.
Oh, I'm fine. And I'll stay that way if you don't tell anybody you see me.
And never get it out of me, lad.
I ain't never been here. Know what I mean?
I'll pull out my fingernails, and I'll never sell you down the river. How's that?
Thanks, mate.
They spar with each other.
Gotta go.
As Stephen trots off, Finn steps over to a cabinet with a broken top. Then he notices Kevin. He looks at the boy, huddled under the blanket, and then walks over to him.
What can we not up, Kevin? You sick or what?
He sits on the edge of the bed.
Come on, you gotta say something. What's wrong with you? Let me see that smiling face of yours.
He pulls the blanket back from Kevin's face. Then, concerned, he kneels by the bed and examines the boy's face closely.
What happened to you?
He goes at once to Lavin.
I'm telling you, brother, he doesn't look very good.
Staying dead is all the boy needs, Mr. Finn.
Jesus, brother, have you seen him? I think the boy needs some ice or something. Why don't you go up and take a look at him yourself? I think the kid needs to go.
Hold on, Mr. Finn. How long have you been here? A couple of weeks? Boys are a tough lot. They recover quickly.
I'm not trying to say anything, brother. But that boy needs to see a doctor. What in God's name could the boy have done to get beaten like that?
Just who in hell do you think you are? How do you know the boy was beaten? Do you know the boy was beaten? Do you? Are you a doctor? No, you're a janitor. Mr. Finn, that is your job here. Now you go and do it and let me get on with my work, or do I find myself another janitor?
Stiffly, Finn turns and stalks off. Listening to his footsteps, Lavin frowns. Upstairs.
Don't. I don't want to go.
Finn wraps Kevin in a blanket.
My son, you're going whether you like to or not. This is not good enough.
Carefully, Finn lifts the battered boy in his arms and carries him out. At the hospital.
That's what seems to be the problem, young man.
He's been beaten, Doc. That's the problem. Go on, Kevin. Tell him what happened.
I'm going to have to examine the boy. Would you mind waiting outside, please?
I'll be outside the door, Kevin, okay?
Hi, Kevin.
The doctor examines Kevin's bruised eye and split lip.
Can you help your brother?
In the hall.
I hope so. I'm Brother Lavin from St. Vincent. Apparently one of our boys was brought in here, Kevin Reeby.
He's with the doctor, down the hall, second door to your left.
Thank you.
Lavin makes his way down the hall to a waiting room. Stepping through the door and closing it behind him. He leans over Finn, who sits alone inside.
You stupid, stupid son of a bitch. What do you think you're doing?
The kid had to see a doctor.
The kid had to see a doctor. You don't even know the trouble you're in, do you? I could have you charged with abducting a child, you stupid imbecile.
You don't have to be getting on with that.
You don't have to be getting on with that. I will get on with whatever I choose, and you are no longer welcome in St. Vincent, Mr. Finn.
Finn gets up.
What? You're fired, you meddling moron. It's the sight of you makes me sick. You brought pain and chaos to our home, and the boys hate you for it, they've told me.
That is not true, and you know it. You're a goddamn nutcase, that's what you are.
Get out of here, and don't let me see your face again, I'll have you arrested.
In the doorway, Finn turns to stare at him.
You might call me a stupid imbecile, and you might call me a moron. But let me tell you something right now, bro. If
those boys have a friend in me, and in you, they have nothing.
Turning on his heel, he stalks off. Lavin watches him go. Then closes the waiting room door. Soon after...
You can take him with you.
While Kevin's arm is bandaged...
Poor child.
Lavin talks with the doctor.
I have no idea who did what, but I think you may have a problem with somebody down there.
He didn't say who it was.
No, you wouldn't tell us anything. Perhaps you can find out more from the boy. But the child is terrorized, I'm convinced.
I had no idea. No doubt it's one of the older boys. They can be very brutal to the younger ones.
The nurse here will give you the papers to sign, and I'll bring the boy down in a minute.
Thank you.
The St. Vincent school bus pulls to a stop in the snow-covered courtyard behind the orphanage. At the wheel, Brother Lavin sets the brake. Kevin, his sole passenger, gets up. As the boy heads for the door...
Kevin? Come
here. He hands Kevin a model kit of a schooner.
That is for being a good boy. A few days rest, and you are going to be as good as new.
Thank you, bro.
You're welcome. Kevin, if I punish you, it's only to help you learn what is right and what is wrong. I'll always be here to protect you. You are very special to me. Understand? Let's go get something to eat.
At night, the trees shiver in the winter wind outside the orphanage. In the dormitory, the boys are asleep in their beds.
It's past your bedtime. Past my bedtime.
Except for one.
Shh. Else is asleep.
Please, bro.
Get up early in the morning. It's past your bedtime now. Come on now, Stephen. Close your eyes and go to sleep.
Kneeling by Stephen's bed, with his hand under the covers, Brother Glacken fondles the unhappy boy.
You're supposed to be asleep. You're supposed to be awake.
The next morning, in the dining hall, Stephen stirs his porridge listlessly. His brother Brian notices and strides over to his table.
Are you okay? Has he been at you? Has he?
Brian is grabbed by a stocky brother.
Get your hands off me!
Back to your seat, Lenny. You know the rules.
Brian stalks off.
Lenny, get back! Get back here!
The stocky brother chases after him. Glacken watches them go, then looks uncomfortably towards Stephen, as do most of the boys.
What are y'all looking at? What are you looking at?
Upset, Stephen pushes his bowl away and tears at a piece of toast. Brother Glacken passes, eyeing him nervously. In Lavin's office...
I've got no parking space.
Brian bursts in.
That pervert Glacken's been after my brother again. If he touches him one more time, I'm gonna knock out his teeth and I'm gonna shove him up his holy arse!
You watch your language, young man. Foul mouth. Threatening a brother. Disrespectful of God at Mass and God knows what else. 10 of the best on each, brother.
As the stocky brother hauls Brian away, Lavin watches impassively. As hard as he can, The stocky brother straps Brian on his upturned palms. Then he glares at the youth.
No tears, Mr. Lunny?
He lifts Brian's chin with the strap.
Perhaps you haven't yet learned your lesson. Hands out again, please.
Brian steels himself. With each stroke, Brother Glynn glares at Brian, waiting for him to cry. After loading his tools into his wooden toolbox, Finn wipes his hands on a rag, picks up the toolbox, and starts out. At a sink in the scullery, Brian holds his battered, bleeding palms under the cold water tap. As Finn passes the door, he notices and stops. Setting his toolbox on a table, he steps over to the sink, sees Brian's hands, and turns off the water.
Who did this to you?
I swear I'm going to kill one of them bastards.
We'll clear your hands down there like it's a lease.
He brings ice cubes for Brian's palms.
Well, this will freeze him and keep the swelling down for it.
What, you goddamn perverts?
Okay, let me wrap this up.
Finn wraps the youth's hands in a towel and then looks him in the eye.
Now, are you going to tell me what's going on around here?
Stevie, Glacken's after him. I tried to do something about it. Look.
He shows Finn his hands. Finn looks away, dismayed.
Look, I got fired okay for taking young Kevin to the hospital. And now this. I want you to tell me exactly what you mean by perverts, Brian.
They're after us. Especially the young ones. In their beds at night, you know?
No, I don't know. Oh, Jesus Christ Almighty. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
I'm not lying, Mike.
He slams the table, overcome by rage and shame. Finn holds him as he weeps.
Jesus. Brian.
Soon after, in downtown St. John's, Finn enters an office.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Who's the person in charge here?
Maybe I can help you.
Are you in charge?
No, but I can probably...
No, well, you can't help me then.
Sir, if you can just tell me what it is you want, maybe I can.
Listen, my love. There's a manager or director or some goddamn thing in here. I don't care what he's called. That's who I want to see. My name is Mike Finn. I was the janitor at St. Vincent. You go and you find him now! Because I ain't leaving till I talk to the fella.
Unnerved, the receptionist gets up. In her superior's office...
Well, we have our procedures to investigate complaints, Mr. Finn. This is not the way to go about it.
What the hell are you talking about? I'm telling you, they're beating the living daylights out of them boys and going around at night bothering them in their beds. Now, what I want to know is, how are you going to put a stop to it?
As I've already told you, Mr. Finn, we cannot do anything until you go to the proper district office to fill out a complaint form. Now, once that is done, the form will be evaluated by our review panel.
I'm supposed to go and fill out a form. That's what you're going to do about it?
Well, you just can't come barging in here making wild statements about things you haven't even seen yourself. Spreading rumors about one of the most hallowed institutions of this city. No, I'm sorry, I must insist that you follow the rules. They have been developed for very... Mr. Finn, where are you going?
Finn turns back at the door.
I'll tell you where I'm not going. That's to your district office to fill out no goddamn form. No, sir.
One evening soon after, the Archbishop hosts a reception. An architect's model of St. Vincent's is carried in.
One very accommodating St. Vincent Orphanage,
I dare say.
And just how much is this going to cost me?
Lavin responds.
Well, Minister, the renovations are budgeted at $450,000 and the rink at $500,000. So the total government grant will have to be in the neighborhood of $1 million.
Ooh. Is that all?
St. Vincent de Dawes had one of the finest teams in the city. Now that they'll finally have their own rink, they may be just unbeatable. And speaking of those whose path to heaven is assured, we all know our esteemed Chief Kennedy. Nay, not a blemish resides in his soul, nor has a drop ever passed his lips.
Certainly not.
Pour the man a drink. Please do.
Chief Kennedy is another of our respected citizens who got his early training with the brothers.
And I have the bruises to prove it.
Now, Chief, let's have a toast.
Here.
Gentlemen, to Brother Lavin's renovation plans, salute e grazie a Dio. Salute.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Hallelujah. In front of a building with a banner proclaiming 100 years, Brother Mac rings a bell.
Merry Christmas. You look like you need a turkey.
Stephen urges passers-by inside.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Come on, come on. 2 for a nickel, 4 for a dime, 10 for a quarter. How you doing, man? Step right up.
Inside, raffle tickets are selling briskly. Carrying a bottle in a paper bag, makes his way along a snow-filled street and turns into his rooming house. Closing the door, he glances up, then climbs the stairs.
Well, if it isn't Detective Nosley, the Royal Friggin' Newfoundland Friggin' Constabulary.
How you doing, Mike?
Not so bloody good. Come on in, have a drink.
Is that what you call me, Mike? Have a drink with you.
They go into Finn's room.
Look, Marty, I know you're not Catholic, but Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, man, those bastards are at the mill, fellas, and something's got to be done about it. Church or no goddamn church.
Have you ever seen anything yourself?
Have I seen anything? I've seen a young fella's hands so smashed up they look like hamburger meat. Brian Lonnie, talk to him. He'll tell you plenty of stuff.
Detective Noseworthy takes notes.
Now, this boy you took to the hospital, Kevin Reavy. What was the doctor's name?
That's another thing. Why would Lavin have me fired just for taking a young kid to the hospital?
Dr. Mike. Do you remember his name?
Jesus, I don't know. He threw me out of the room looking at me like I'd done something. Then that high and mighty fella from the government asking me to fill out forms, for Christ's sake. You gotta be able to read and write and know what's right and wrong.
St. Vincent brothers look out from a group photo.
My God, we can't use that. Like a crowd of refugees.
Glacken giggles drunkenly. Several of the younger brothers are partying in their smoke-filled common room.
Can you imagine? 100 years of good works. I vow and promise to protect every living thing that God has put on this earth.
Brother Mac, disturbed by their drunken behavior, gets up and leaves the room.
Children, rich and poor, I'll even protect crab lice. Any and every living and non-living thing. I'll protect the bones of dead relatives and the insects that feed on them. I vow.
As Glacken takes another slug from his drink, three boys slip through a door.
Okay, Eddie, right here. Now, if he hears or sees anything,
fight this with chair,
and Dad, let us know.
I always keep a lookout.
Leaving Eddie on guard at the door, Kevin and Stephen hustle through the choir loft. And down the stairs to the chapel. Kevin, the altar boy, leads the way past the altar to a table with the articles for the Mass.
That's the wine. You idiot! I know where that is. The bottles. Where's the bottles, boy?
Kevin leads him over to the storage room, as Eddie keeps watch above. Stephen reaches for wine bottles and hands them to Kevin.
Come on, hurry up. Take it easy, will you? I'll get them all. Hurry, hurry. Let's go. Come on, come on.
Upstairs, Eddie sees someone coming. He can't remember which switch to use for a warning. Finally, he flicks one on, surprising Glenn with a boy in pajamas. Eddie flees, knocking over some cartons. Alerted by the noise, Glenn turns the boy around and hustles off with him. The next morning, a housekeeper pours coffee for the brothers in their dining room.
Thank you. You will say the grace, Brother McLaverty.
Brother Mac composes himself.
Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which from thy bounty we are about to receive, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And forgive us, Lord, for the wrong we do, and be merciful for the path we've chosen. We at this table ask your forgiveness. Amen.
What was that all about?
You've taken it upon yourself, brother, to change our regular grace, or is there some dark spot on your soul you wish to discuss at the breakfast table? Just rambling, brother.
Later, Stephen pours wine into a juice glass.
Come on, bunny, little frigger, fill it up, boy.
What do you think this is, my son? A garden party, do you? That's how much you get for what you paid.
He has a lineup of customers.
That's it, boys. Put it in the bag. That's right. You want some more? Come back, eh? Yeah. That's it, boys. Anybody for seconds? That's it, boys. Anybody for seconds? Come on. Drink up. Drink up.
Now, a globe is simply a ball with a picture of the Earth on it.
Brother Glacken teaches.
Okay, now, on the picture of the globe in your book, find the line that runs around the middle of the Earth. Everyone see it?
Yes.
Kevin Reavy to the office. Kevin Reavy to the office. Kevin Reavy.
Kevin looks apprehensively at Stephen and Eddie.
Come on, Kevin, let's go. Hurry up.
Now, this line is called the equator. It divides the Earth in half. The upper half is called...
Brother Lavin is sitting on a bench outside his office. When he sees Kevin approaching, he steps over to the boy. Grasping Kevin by the shoulder, he pushes the frightened boy against the wall and leans down to stare into his face.
There's a policeman in my office who wants to talk to you about the hospital. Anything you tell him, I will know about it. Do you understand?
Kevin nods. Lavin straightens up and walks the boy over to the bench. Pushing him down on it, Lavin sits beside him and pats his knee. Brian comes out of the office.
Kevin Reavy?
With a glance at Lavin, Detective Noseworthy ushers Kevin into the office. Lavin hustles after Brian.
Brian? Brian? Can I have a talk with you? In private, please.
What? It's all right.
Backing him into a washroom, Lavin slams him against a wall.
What did he ask you?
He told me I'm part of the police investigation and I'm not supposed to tell anyone what we talked about.
I said, what did he ask you and what did you say?
He told me that if anyone so much as touches me, to contact him. So you want to touch me? You want to hit me? Hey, is that what you want to do? Because I'm not telling you nothing.
He shoves Lavin back and stalks off. Lavin struggles to contain his rage and alarm. Then, losing the struggle, he lunges into a cubicle and vomits into the toilet.
What was done to you is a crime, Kevin.
In the office.
Whoever did that can be put in jail.
Jail?
Yeah. If you tell me who did it.
Kevin looks down.
Were you beaten because you ran away from the orphanage?
Who told you I ran away?
I talked to the officers who brought you back here, Kevin. All right. Now, the last thing they saw was Brother Lavin telling you to wait in his office. Next day, you were taken to the hospital.
Can I go now?
It's okay, Kevin. I just take it easy now, right? Things gonna be okay.
When he pats Kevin's knee, the boy flinches. Noseworthy notices. Lavin is waiting when they come out.
Thank you, Kevin. Run along now.
Straight back to class now, Kevin. No detours.
If I have any more questions, I'll be in touch.
Detective, if there is something going on with these boys, I think I should know about it.
As I've told you before, I'm simply following up some leads. I'm afraid I can't go beyond that.
Well, I hope you got what you wanted, and that will be the end of it. I'm afraid I cannot have this kind of thing going on here.
Now, on that, I agree with you. This is no place to conduct police interviews.
Brian talks to some of the boys.
That's what the cops said. They're all going to jail if... and only if you guys tell them what's been happening around here.
I don't know, boy. Shouldn't give our names. Christ, that'll take the skin right off us.
Chicken. Chicken.
His antics provoke nervous laughter from the boys.
Do you mind if I take a look at that?
In a social worker's office.
Thank you.
Noseworthy reads Kevin's committal order.
Kevin had a hard life before he came to the orphanage. He was brought up with alcohol and fighting, and then there was the fire, which absolutely destroyed the child. Watching his parents being carried out dead.
Now, the doctor who saw Kevin filed an official report of suspected abuse.
Yes, I know.
What are you going to do with it?
It's already been dealt with. Everything having to do with the orphanage gets sent to the director. This is not the first report, you know.
Reports having to do with beatings.
Beatings and... they go upstairs and that's the last we ever hear of them.
Have you ever had any reports of brothers touching boys?
There have been rumors. Look, I'm the social worker assigned to the boys in the orphanage, and I can't even get in there to see the boys. Brother Lavin says it would disrupt their routine.
Really?
There's nothing I can do. Have you ever tried to go over the Catholic Church in Newfoundland?
In his office, the Archbishop regards Brother Lavin gravely.
This Brian Lunny has been making some serious allegations, brother. Do you know of anything going on?
No. I don't believe a word of it. What I do believe is he is a sullen and resentful young delinquent.
What if it is true?
The Monsignor interrupts.
What then?
then Glacken will have to be dealt with. But I tell you, he is simply making up a story about his little brother to hide his own incipient criminality.
I don't think you fully understand what is going on here. This is a copy of the witness statement, which the police department has been kind enough to send over.
Peter, do you realize what happens when a police investigation gets underway? Word of it starts getting around. All sorts of rumors start up. I am getting calls.
Now the police want to interview more boys, and not at the orphanage. You see?
I will deal with it.
It's not good enough, Peter. Monseigneur will be looking into this matter on my behalf. He'll keep you informed. Have a good night's rest, Peter. Have the feeling you're going to need it.
The Archbishop rises to leave. Lavin bends to kiss his ring.
Your best. Read some of the words from this boy's statement. I have been beaten lots of times by Brother Glenn. He smashes lots of boys, and he's after some of the little ones. I saw him rubbing Mike Sproul's private parts. Brother Glacken is after my little brother Stevie.
In the dormitory, Glacken switches on a light.
Everybody up, please, immediately! Down to the gymnasium right now! Come on! Up, up, up! Come on! You get up! Come on! Down to the gymnasium quickly, please! Forget your slippers! Down to the gym! Go! Go! Come on!
In their pajamas, the boys hurry down the stairs and assemble in the gymnasium.
There are rumors being spread around by certain people. Anyone who is spreading these rumors is a traitor to the orphanage, a traitor to you, and a traitor to God. Whatever happens inside the walls of this orphanage is to stay inside the walls of this orphanage. That is a sacred rule. A rule more sacred than any rule you will ever hear! Understand this. There are people outside who want to see this orphanage close. These rumors are the way to do it. If these hellish fantasies are believed by the devils outside, people will stop donating money. People will stop donating clothing. You will be forced out onto the street, and you will have nowhere to go but into the gutter. If I hear or hear of anyone who is spreading these evil lies from hell or talking to anyone outside, I can assure you that by God, they will be punished.
Soon after, Kevin watches from a window as a number of boys board the school bus. In an office at the police station.
Now, Mike, what about Brother Glenn? Has he ever touched you?
Yes,
What has he done?
He took me to my dorm, put me on his knee, and spanked me.
And then?
And then he rubbed me all over, and all over my bum.
What else?
Sometimes he even does it on my private part.
What does he do on your private part?
He rubs me.
What else does he do?
Sometimes he takes me into his bed and puts me on top of him and starts rubbing me on his private part.
Does he do this often?
Yes.
Other boys wait their turn out in the hall.
Now, what about Brother Mac?
No. He never done any of that stuff.
In other offices...
Dead. Rubbing and trying. You know. Kissing. Trying to stick it up me bum.
Anything else about Glacken?
Wanted me to be with you?
Sure.
Yes, sir. He comes to my bed. And he leans right in over me. So I know it's him. I can see his face. Sometimes he wants me to look at him when he's doing it.
And Brother Glynn?
Yeah.
Brother McLaverty?
No, not Brother Mac.
What about Brother Nickel?
Yeah, he's got a stick.
Does he hit you with it?
All over.
Even your face?
Yeah.
And Brother White?
Not me, but some of the others.
What about Brother Loomy?
No.
And what about Brother Lavin?
Eddie's gaze shifts uneasily.
Sure, there's no need to be scared, you know.
A boy recalls a brother brutally pinching his neck. Mike remembers the pulsing thrusts of being sodomized in his bed. Physical abuse scars a youth's memory. Another remembers a brother's thrusts and caresses in the dark. Detective Noseworthy listens sadly, while outside his office a young boy weeps. One of the boys signs a typed witness statement, while others continue to recount the abuse they've suffered. Recalls being forced to perform oral sex on a brother. Noseworthy watches while Mike carefully signs his witness statement. Interviews continue. Noseworthy questions Stephen.
Let's talk about some of the others.
No, it's not okay. You can't say I said anything about him. I never saw him do anything. I never opened my mouth about Brother Lavin. Right?
It's fine. I understand. No more about it, okay? Now, let's talk about Brother McLaverty.
Listen here. Brother Mac's number one. Him, Brother Porter, and Brother Quimmer are the best kind. They've always been good to us.
So no one's been at you, is that right? Not Glenn? Not Glacken?
That's right. I'll let them have it if they tried anything on me.
Mm-hmm. You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I told you already. I don't let them.
The school bus returns to St. Vincent. And the boys file out. Followed by Brother Glacken. At the station.
Unbelievable. Never seen anything like it.
Evidence, Noseworthy. I want to see evidence.
Evidence.
Noseworthy briefs the police chief.
Oh, on just a second there, Noseworthy. You're not going off half-cocked in this one. Now, you know what we're up against here. I want a full report of what you've got.
Well, how can I write a report when I haven't finished my investigation? I got to interview every lad in that orphanage. When those boys came from one or two dorms. There are the dorms and other brothers in charge of those dorms.
Then there's Brother Lavin. I'm convinced the boys are terrified of him.
What is all this eye stuff? I need to arrest, I need to interview. This is sensitive stuff, Noseworthy. I can't have the police force look like we're out to crucify Catholics, now can I?
You're Catholic, sir. Do you think I'm out to crucify you?
Hey, don't get smart with me, Noseworthy. It's no use talking to you. Just give me a report on what you've got so far. Now, justice and social services are waiting for it, and I'm waiting for it. And in the meantime, I want to see a copy of those witness statements.
Brother Mac enters the dorm.
That's enough, boys. That's enough. Come on. Get to your beds. It's time for prayers.
Yes, you have to.
Where's Brother Glacken, bro?
Brother Glacken has been relieved of his duties. I'll be replacing him for the time being.
The boys are overjoyed.
Enough.
Suitcases in hand, brothers Glynn and Glacken are followed down the front steps of St. Vincent by the Monsignor. The brothers get into the back seat of a waiting car. The Monsignor closes their door. As he gets into the front, he glances back at Lavin, who stands in the doorway watching them go. Later.
I can assure you it is a very fine facility. These men are sick. They need proper medical treatment in a spiritual setting.
The Monsignor converses with two officials.
They have acknowledged breaking their vows. Yeah, it's the first step towards what we hope will be full recovery. Good day, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Giancarlo?
Signor?
The two officials watch him go, then sigh in dismay.
I know, it stinks.
They should be facing criminal charges.
The grant's already been announced. We can't be seen giving $1 million to a bunch of perverts.
They should be in jail, Ed.
In Lavin's office.
This is your official release form from St. Vincent. You are to report to the Social Welfare Office on Harvey Road, and I want you off the premises before the day is out.
I was getting out of here anyways, and I'm not going to any goddamn welfare office. I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to get my brother out of this hellhole.
Oh, Mark, you'll make lies with your fingerprints stealing something.
Oh, yeah? Well, wherever the hell I'm going, I'm going to tell them about you goddamn perverts and what you've been doing in here.
Well, no, you're not. See, you got a big mouth, Lunny, and you're going to have to learn to keep it shut tight. Your younger brother is going to be with us for a good many years, and if I hear about you saying so much as one word, do I have to spell it out?
You miserable bastard.
Brian stalks out. In a hallway, he talks with Stephen.
Can't wait to go to Toronto.
Don't get too excited yet, Brian. It's going to take a while, you know?
Yeah, I know. But I'm going sometime, right?
What do you think? I'm going to leave you in this goddamn place. No way. As soon as I get straightened away, you're gone.
You'll be all right. Just stay away from him, that's all.
I can look after myself. I'll keep the bastards in the nuts if they come near me. I knows what to do.
Yeah, you're tough, Stevie.
Hey, how much money you got?
I don't know. I'm okay.
Here. Get out of heat, bud. It's a long bus ride.
You're so foolish. Put that away.
Look, there's a lot more where that came from.
Brian pats him affectionately.
Take care of yourself, huh?
Ornaments are hung on a Christmas tree.
Okay, here we go. The speech is ended, and you've taken your places in the back of the hall. Now, I will be up front, over here on the side, okay? Now, don't forget, you're holding $1 million check, okay? So hold it up proudly. That's it. Now, keep your eyes on me. You ready?
On cue, the four boys march forward.
Slowly. Slower. That's it. Want everybody to have a good look. Okay, you come right ahead. Right up here on the stage. That's it. Watch your step. Okay. Now, you turn around. Okay, so we can get a good picture. That's it. That's
me, brother.
Lavin approaches.
A small addition, brother. A gift will be given to the premiere.
What a lovely idea. Well, 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 well. Let's see now. We're going to need a boy to step forward and present the gift.
How about Kevin?
An excellent idea. Okay, Kevin. Brother, would you mind standing in for the premiere?
Certainly not.
Okay, you stand right there. Just ahead a little bit. There you go. Okay, right there. Fine. Now, Kevin, you come out around. You have your gift for the premiere in your hands. You go forward, and you present your gift to the premiere. That's it. Now, Mr. Premier, you shake hands with Kevin.
Lavin holds out his hand.
Kevin, shake hands. Kevin?
Lavin reaches for Kevin's hand.
Yeah, there, yes. Oh, that's a very nice picture. Now, you return to your place. Okay, brother, would you mind bringing Kevin back to his place? You come forward to the edge of the stage. That's it, stop there. Now,
Lavin stands behind Kevin with his hands clasped on the boy's chest. Kevin looks down at them with dismay.
I want to ask you a few questions from your catechism text. Eddie, who is God?
The creator and sovereign Lord of heaven and earth and all things.
And Mikey, what is heaven?
The kingdom of God's glory and of his angels and saints.
Exactly. Then you move back the stage. Okay. You stop there. Fine. Okay. Now, you come forward.
Lavin strokes Kevin's hair tenderly. Then lightly puts his hands around the boy's neck. Later, Kevin sits alone. Methodically chopping up the wooden pieces of the schooner model. When he knocks over a container, he pays no heed. The last piece he breaks with his hands. At the police station, Detective Noseworthy is advised that he has a visitor. He makes his way to his office and finds Kevin waiting for him. Noseworthy closes the door and sits down beside the boy.
Everything okay? Anything wrong?
I think he was coming after me again.
Who?
Brother Lavin.
You want to tell me about it?
Kevin nods. Soon after, Noseworthy looks up from his notes.
What did you say? Did you say anything at all?
I told him that he wasn't my mother.
What did he do after that? Did he say anything?
He picked me up and he threw me on the wall.
Did he hit you?
Kevin nods.
Did he hit you with his hands?
What about?
What end of the bell?
The buckle.
Noseworthy makes another note.
Does Brother Lavin, has he ever done this with any other boys that you know of?
No. He says that I'm his boy.
Has this kind of thing been going on for a long time?
Kevin nods.
Do you remember the first time it ever happened?
He nods again. Later, Kevin signs his witness statement. Then he turns to the detective.
Do I have to go back to the orphanage?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. You know, when your parents died, court put you in the custody of the brothers. But it's gonna stop, Kevin. I'm gonna put an end to this stuff, I promise you. I can't give you your family back, but just trust me. It's all over. You got my word. All right?
Noseworthy returns Kevin to the orphanage.
You're gonna come back and see me, right?
I promised you, didn't I? Let's go.
Yes. Oh, yes, he's here now, as a matter of fact.
Lavin is on the phone in his office.
Yes, I'll call you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Noseworthy sits down across from him.
Now, I don't know everything that's been going on in here. But I will. You can count on that. I want to make sure that you understand that you and every other person in here are the subject of a police investigation into very serious criminal matters.
Such as?
Gross indecency, physical assault, indecent assault. Shall we start with that?
Don't be absurd, detective.
Now, you listen here! I have brought this boy back here personally to make sure that nothing more happens to him. It is over. That boy is under my very personal protection.
But don't you come in here threatening me. You have no authority here, you know it, and I know it. So if you would quickly remove yourself from the premises, sir, we can get on with the job of repairing some of the damage you people have caused.
Is that right?
That is right.
Well, let me tell you something. I have some paperwork to do, and then I will come back here with all the authority I need. Now, this is not it, Lavin. If you touch that boy before I get back here, I'll rip the Jesus throat right out of your neck.
In the hall.
Joseph? And is walking sick?
Several boys are assembling a nativity scene when Brother Lavin walks in.
Have you seen Kevin?
Oh, no. Me neither.
Lying little thieves.
He stalks off.
You shall not enter the kingdom of God. Do you hear me? Your punishment will be eternal!
Striding through the dining hall, he backhands a bowl off a table.
Move.
Roughly pushing boys aside, he hurries down the stairs.
Kevin!
He follows a path of boards into the depths of the cellar and peers about.
Kevin!
Kevin withdraws into the shadows behind some shelves as Brother Lavin advances. He spies Kevin and stalks. Bending down, he stares intently at the boy through the shelves.
You foolish, foolish child.
He lunges forward and batters at the shelves with his fists. Kevin darts away. Lavin chases him, pulling off his heavy leather belt. As Kevin cowers behind more shelves, Lavin lashes at him with the belt. When Kevin tries to flee, Lavin cuts him off, stumbling to his knees as he grabs the boy.
Please, bro. Don't hit me, bro. I'll do whatever you want, Mom. Please, Mom. I'll be good, Mom. Please, Mom. Please.
Lavin slowly relaxes his grip. He lowers his gaze in confusion. Then he clutches Kevin to his chest. Stephen and Eddie lead Brother Mac into the cellar. Brother Lavin kisses Kevin obsessively.
Peter! What in the name of God are you doing?
Brother Mac steps toward them.
Come here, child. Let him go.
Lavin clings desperately to Kevin.
Come here. Come here. Let him go.
Reluctantly, Lavin releases the boy.
Go up to your dorm, Kevin. Go on. Go on, boys.
Stephen and Eddie lead Kevin out of the cellar. Brother Mac, shocked and dismayed, looks down at Lavin.
You're a sick, evil man, Peter. And a disgrace to the order.
Lavin trembles, struggling for control.
By the authority invested in me as superintendent.
Don't speak to me about authority. You will have nothing more to do with these children, ever.
Brother Mac walks out. Still on his knees, Brother Lavin wraps his arms around his chest and sinks back in despair. Some days later, Brother Mac referees a hockey game in the yard.
Ready, let's go! Let's go! Okay, ready!
Kevin gleefully celebrates a goal. The Monsignor is greeted by one of the government officials.
Nice to see you again.
How are you?
The official sighs uncomfortably.
Larry, hold all the calls, would you? It's waiting for you in here.
He leads the Monsignor to an office. In the orphanage dining hall, Eddie and Stephen make their way to their table and sit down, chatting happily. Eddie looks up and points.
What?
As three new brothers enter, they stand in a row facing the boys.
My name is Brother David.
The tall one in the middle steps forward.
I'm going to be your new superintendent. These are Brothers Bilton and Brother Graham, who will be taking over dorm duties from Brothers Lacken and Glynn, who have been transferred. This institution has been put into the gravest of danger, and it is going to be my mission to rectify the good name of St. Vincent, and I can assure you all, I intend to do just that. There will be no more visits from the police. It is time to put the past behind us. This is your home. And will be treated with the reverence its history deserves.
Brother David withdraws, leaving his two colleagues to supervise.
Gentlemen, my office, please.
And inviting several other brothers to follow him.
Come on. Eat up, gentlemen. We haven't got all day.
In Noseworthy's office, the police chief looks up from a file.
He made me put his bird in my mouth.
Noseworthy sits back in his chair.
You will rewrite this piece of pornography. I can't send out something like this. You'll take out all references to sexual matters. Now, is that clear?
Look, I didn't make up this stuff, Chief.
Those are sworn statements made by the boys.
You get orders, I get orders. Now, the case is closed.
No.
This comes straight from the Department of Justice. There will be no arrests. Apparently, the brothers involved will be sent somewhere for treatment.
What about the boys?
Nosebleed. I need a nice, clean report for the files, and you're going to write it up. Or you're out on the street, out of a job. Is that clear?
I told the little kid he wouldn't be buggered anymore. And what the hell do I tell him now? That the High Holy Church and a bunch of criminal politicians don't give a damn about him.
The chief glances at Noseworthy, then gets up, drops the file on the desk, and walks out of the office. Noseworthy pursues him angrily.
And what about the other brothers we didn't get yet? Because you shut down this investigation just when it was getting started.
Glancing at some constables who are watching, the chief comes back to confront the detective.
You're this close to being charged with insubordination right now. And that goes for the rest of you. If I hear one more word about this case, I'll have the person responsible charged under the Police Act.
With a stern look at Noseworthy, he stalks off. Disgusted, Noseworthy withdraws into his office. Soon after, in his study, the Archbishop sips brandy from a goblet and sighs.
We all carry scars of one kind or another. I can only pray that ours will be less visible than others.
He glances at his guest.
But we do have them. And your understanding of our problem is... all I can say is that I'm deeply, deeply grateful. Enough said. Another drink.
In the darkness of the dormitory, one of the new brothers checks on his charges. Then he sits down on the edge of Stephen's bed.
I'm going to sleep now, bro.
Yes, you go to sleep now, Stephen.
Lifting the blanket. He reaches under it and begins caressing the boy.
Don't do that, bro. I don't like it.
Shh. You go to sleep now.
In his bed nearby, Kevin listens. Some days later in the gym, the Archbishop and the Premier join the applause. As Kevin enters, bearing a large gift-wrapped present, Stephen, Mike, and Eddie follow him, carrying a huge cardboard check. They advance solemnly to the stage, where the Monsignor signals the Premier, who steps forward to accept the present. Applauding enthusiastically, the police chief grins and nods. The Archbishop has the boys turn to face the audience so that everyone can see the province's million-dollar check. The Monsignor invites the police chief and Brother Davitt to join them on the stage for a photo opportunity. The men stand in a row, posing for the cameras and smiling proudly.
Snatarira,
of the men. The four young boys stare ahead, glumly.